is up, people? This is Braxton.
This is Landon.
And welcome to the All for the Glory podcast.
Our lives should be modeled in an effort to glorify God in literally whatever we do. In this show, what our plan is we want to use this platform to tell stories, get real, have a lot of laughs, but most importantly, giving God glory in every conversation that we have, looking to point others towards Christ.
Welcome back, everybody. It is week four of the podcast.
Welcome back.
Landon's got a little something on his plate in front of him right now.
Okay, so this is week four, but this is week one of Olivia's snack reviews. She's made like some sort of a chocolate chip cookie with an Oreo inside it. And I've been sitting here staring it down for 20 minutes waiting for us to start recording so I can try it live and
Are we going to dip in the milk or no?
No.
Oh, we're going in.
Yeah, just going in.
What do we think?
It's hot.
So this cookie, Olivia made this a couple weeks ago. It's got a thin, like thin filled Oreo in it.
It's a chocolate chip cookie. Filled with an Oreo.
They're pretty tasty. I can only eat one, but they are good.
That is good. That is like really good. Should I like grade it out of 10?
Yeah, I should see this drool going down Landon's mouth right now.
It's good. I'm not even going to lie. This is really good.
All right, so out of 10, where are we going? I've had this. I'm going to rate it as a dessert. I'm going to rate it a 9.1.
Huh?
Uh-huh. 9.1.
Does it need to be higher than that?
Now, look, a 10 is like a brownie from Belize. But 9.1 just because I can't eat that many of them, not because it's not that good.
Have you ever had one of those things from BJ's Brewhouse? Those are like Pazookie cookies that come in the skillet?
Uh-uh.
Dude, that's
like
a 10.
Like fried cookie?
Like Chili's?
No, it's kind of like that, but they're better. It's kind of like that, but they're better. That's a 10.
So what do we have here?
I would give this right here, just for like how simple it is, and I could go home and make this. I'd give it like a 9.4. This is really good.
Ooh, wow.
This is really good. I have zero self control. I could eat 20 of these.
Okay, Liv. Thanks so much.
Bye, podcast.
All right, so that's how we started out this one. Well, we're gonna start this. Liv's gonna make a snack for us every Wednesday, and we're gonna give a rating on it. So, Lando, I gotta tell you this. I was standing in the bathroom. I don't know what I was doing, and Lando's still munching his cookie. So I'm standing in the bathroom, and. Miss Bell, Olivia's dog, walks in there and literally turns around and pees on my foot. Dude, she doesn't pee in the house or poop in that like she does. And I'm standing there. I was looking in there. I don't know if I was plucking my eyebrows or what. And I feel something warm hit my leg, dude. And I turn, I look down, and she's just full squat peeing on my foot. And it's like, it's kind of funny now, but dude, I was hot. I was mad. Oh, it's so stupid. And I yelled at her, and I gave her a little spanking. And Olivia's like, she couldn't help it. She would never do that. And I said, she did it.
She did it.
And she didn't have nothing. Like, she has nothing wrong. She's a healthy dog. But anyway, so... that's what today's been like.
I've never been peed on a dog. One time back when I worked at the vet clinic, the worst experience I ever had is we had this dog that was, and I was our like.
I remember when you worked at the vet.
I don't even remember what my title would have been. I guess you'd call it like, I don't even know what you would have called my title. But what we were doing was we were getting a dog ready for surgery because this dog was like super stopped up, wouldn't use the bathroom. They couldn't figure out why. We like x-rayed this dog, or like we ultrasounded it something. I think that's what we were doing, is we had it laying on the table and we were ultrasounding it. Because usually when they got something stopped up in their intestines. They can ultrasound it, pinpoint where it's at. It was like this poodle. And this is forever like the worst experience of my life with a dog. This thing, it was like, you could smell its breath, like the backed up crap that was in it. It was nasty. And we were ultrasounding this dog, and I don't know if it was just like the pressing on its stomach.
Yeah.
But we were getting this dog up to, like, I don't know if we were moving it to a kennel before we started surgery, or if we were about to prep it to put it down for surgery. But this dog just, like, projectile vomits on me. And this isn't like throw up that it threw up on me. It's like backed up crap that's sitting in its stomach because it can't go through the rest of its intestines. It was the most worst smelling thing.
I think I'd have went home.
Luckily, I'd take a shower there.
You had to change the clothes and stuff?
Oh, yes. But it was
That's gross.
That was rough.
That's nasty.
And Dr. Chris and our other assistant, Wes, they were just sitting there just like, and them, since they were like the ones in charge and they were running stuff, they didn't have to mess with it. And they had to go out of the room because it smelled so bad, for one.
Oh, yeah. No, I'd have been puking.
But also they're on the other side of the door dying laughing because they could just hear me dry heaving, like, about to just re-throw back up on top of this dog. I'm surprised I didn't.
You should have got her back. Dude, I got a real weak stomach when it comes to that. Like any, like,
me too.
Like strong smells.
Me too. Smells. I can't do smells.
I walked into this like dog grooming place one time, and like I stood there for like 5 minutes, like trying to talk to this lady, like holding my breath basically. I walked out and threw up all in the parking lot. And then not too long ago, so like we gotta like clean up the poop and stuff here.
Yeah.
And so I was cleaning up some bales, and it wasn't pretty. I don't know what happened inside of her, but it was not pretty what came out. And I started throwing up just because of the smell. Again, it happens probably at least twice a year, three times a year.
Let's get off this topic. This is disgusting.
Right. Sorry, guys.
So today's episode, it's gonna look a little different. We don't just this has been the first weekend since we've started this thing that me or Braxton haven't just been insanely busy. So we wanted to.
Oh, gosh, it's been the best, like, week of just chill.
I know.
Oh,
I know.
It's been great. It's but kind of sucks at the same time. I like staying busy. But.
Yeah. But, so what we have is we have a page here just full of. We posted a question and answer thing on our Facebook and on our Instagram and just asked, like, hey, if you got some sort of a question, hit us up. And we'll talk about it on this podcast. So we got quite a few good questions here that we're going to dive into and talk about and just get y'all's input on it. We definitely will probably do something like this in the future. So if, you know, you're listening to this and you've never, like, you know, you weren't one of the ones that gave a comment or something, be thinking about that. Store that in the back of your head. Put it in your notes because we might make another post like this in the future doing something like this again.
And before we get into this, I just want to say, guest-wise, we just now got to where we're working with two mics. As soon as we figure out how we're going to get a third mic and preferably fourth mic too, when we get that working, we'll have a guest on literally as soon as possible, but it is actually impossible right now to have a guest, so we are sorry. But we'll get into these questions here. Lando, let's start it off with this one. At what time in y'all's life was the hardest to trust God?
You want to go first? You want
me to go first? Yeah, I will. That's pretty recent for me. So I would say I'm one that, like, when things do get bad, luckily I've normally just kind of turned towards God and try to trust Him. Not all the time, you know, but like normally that's what I try to do. But before this year, that's what I would do. But this year, there was a time when it just, I just didn't trust Him at all. Like, didn't want no part of it or anything. And that was when I did something really bad or did something that I felt so shameful about. And I felt like it was God's fault that I did that. So, like, when I blamed God for something that I did, even though, you know, we have free will and all this good stuff. But, yeah, when I did something and I was shameful of, that's when it was the hardest for me to trust God. And it shouldn't have been. I mean, it's just, yeah. That's mine.
I was really thinking on this one, because I could probably go to a couple different spots. One spot that I would say, like, trusting God was hard. So I went to a couple different places, but the first one that came to my mind was when I first got called to this new church.
Yeah.
That was, I guess it wasn't necessarily not trusting God, but not necessarily trusting God's plan. But, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, that's basically just not trusting God.
Yeah.
But when I originally got this call, like, I got called to this church about, you know, asking if I just wanted to come interview. My initial reaction was just, nope, not happening. But I knew that, you know, saying no wasn't the absolute just right answer. I knew I needed to at least
explore a little bit with it.
Yeah, put a little prayer behind it. Like, let that be my leading factor of the decision I make is prayer. And, you know, get some advice from some other people. And the point where it started coming more and more clear to me that that's what I was being called to do, I didn't really like that. I loved my old church. I loved Mount Zion. I still love Mount Zion. Like, a lot of people there, those are my people. I mean, that's the place where I was saved, place where I was baptized. It's the place I got to know Michaela, like, where we got close with each other. It's where all my family goes. It's very sentimental and close to me. I mean, basically every memory I have of, like, my walk with Christ is, like, that church has been the center of it. And being at a spot where I was about to step away from that, I knew that was going to be tough. Like, for a lot of people, like, maybe not have never had that experience, but I've never gone to a different church ever in my life.
Yeah.
Like, ever. Like,
that was.
And so that was,
it felt wrong, kind
of. It almost felt wrong. Yeah. 'Cause, like, it was kind of one of those churches of, like, where, like, I had everything going for me. There's a good youth group that I was able to, because I was already graduated at that point, but I was being able to be involved in it and help with it. I had just taken a step of where I was, like, starting to, like, help and be, like, being a co-director of, like, our Awana program. I mean, I had a lot of good things going at that church, and, you know, when I felt that call of, you know, God saying, I'm leading you to something else, like a new start, I was like, you know, God, why would you call me to that? And I really wanted that answer to be no, but it was like an overwhelming answer, yes. And it was hard for me to trust off the start. So I would say for me, that was probably in that little time right there, that was my hardest time of trusting God. But because of some of the people that were around me and God granting me some comfort and peace in that situation.
And from the outside looking in, I think if you were to look back now, you could probably see that was a good thing to happen for looking forward to the future, what could happen.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
It was me coming to Meadowview was something so good. I've grown so much.
Yeah. And like, just being able to experience going from one to the other because of the future thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that may.
Like, it was so good for me to grow. Because there was just stuff that I learned there that I wouldn't have learned. Like, and sometimes those lessons don't come unless you learn something. I mean, unless you go somewhere new. And
attached to this question should be when it says, at what time in y'all's life was it the hardest to trust God? And then after that, it should be like, and how much closer did, or how, you know, how much did you grow after that? Because that's what always happens.
Oh, yeah.
If you do lean into him, not run from him,
yeah,
that is always what happens.
If I could go back now knowing what I know now, I would, like, no wouldn't have even been a possibility in my mind. Like, yeah. It would have been an overwhelming yes 10 times out of 10. I mean, because I love MetaView. I love working there. I love my youth group. I love my teens. They're so fun to be around. And I love what I do. Like, I no wouldn't have even been in the consideration.
Yeah.
If I know what I knew now. But.
Next question.
Yeah. You got anything else you want to add onto that?
We talked a lot about that last week. A little bit about that last week. Whatever I said last week, that's what I was kind of thinking. I don't remember what I said.
Yeah.
I can't remember what I said, but yeah. So this one, I'll let you explain this one, Landon, after I read it, because I didn't get it. No, Landon kind of had to explain it to me a little bit. How does this hit for 20-something-year-olds like us in 2024? It says, your creed must bend to the Bible and not the Bible to your creed. Explain that for us, Lando.
So, for those of y'all that, like, don't know what a creed is, it's basically like, you could almost call it like a confession of faith of, listing off a system of beliefs that you have, basically. This was a dumb analogy, but I made an analogy to the Assassin's Creed game. Like, what you had in that game is you had, like, this brotherhood of these people that, like, lived by this, like, very strict set of rules. And, like, that was their creed. Like, these things that they believed and how they shaped their lives to look like. And so...
So this one is, like, to a personal level. Like, on our own creed.
Yeah.
Is kind of what, like, this is saying.
And so, like, what that's meaning is, like, how do you... How... what set of values and beliefs are the forefront of your life?
Do they go with the Bible or do they not?
Yeah, and so reread that question.
Your creed must bend to the Bible and not the Bible to your creed.
Yeah, so there was... I think a lot of people are that second one, is that we try to bend the Bible to our creed. And what I mean by that is... And what I mean by that is that... Is that all of us, we might say it, we might say that we don't, but all of us do, somewhere in our life. We have something that we do that might not necessarily be the best thing in the world that we should be doing. And what we try to do to justify it is we try to take little passages of scripture or a verse here and there, and we try to work it and twist it.
Philippians 4:13 is a great example.
Yeah, like, okay, that's a good example, like, that we could talk about, like...
Because Paul is not talking about sports.
yeah, like, so that's a great example right there. So, like, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. For a lot of people, they take a verse like that and let it affect their beliefs about life. And they let it affect their beliefs about life, and... So if you, for the people that have Philippians 4:13, like, written on their basketball shoes or something, I've seen people do that. They take a verse that's nowhere near talking about sports, and they only apply it to one thing. They apply, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, to, if I pray to God, then I'll be able to score 40 points a game. And that's just really not what that verse is about.
No.
At all. And so the first half of that, it's saying your creed has to bend to the Bible. What that's meaning is it doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter how you think things should roll. If it doesn't line up with the Bible, your thinking is the one that has to change, not the Bible.
Yep. And sometimes we know that our thinking doesn't align with it, and we still do it anyway.
Well, I think that's where we get to the point of where we try to twist it and work it.
And make it sound good.
Yes, make it sound so it comes to a point where we can hear it and be like, oh, okay, well, it does make sense. That does work. I can handle that. I thought that was interesting when you read that to me, because I think so many people live in that second section of that.
I got something right here. Ain't no twisting to it. Sometimes I just take it a little overboard.
What is that from?
Acts 10:12-13. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles and birds. And then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter. Kill and eat." I could go hunting every day.
There you go.
He said, "Get up, kill and eat."
Yeah, that's what that verse is about.
I absolutely love that verse because for hunting purposes. Some people could use that and be like, "God just wants us to hunt.
Wants me to hunt. He wants me to skip church on Sunday morning so I can be in the deer woods." That's what that verse is about right there. Yeah. That's what. But
Genesis 9:2-3, the fear and dread of you will fall on all the beasts of the earth. And on all the birds of the sky, and every creature that moves along the ground, and on all the fish in the sea. They are given into your hands. Everything that lives and moves about will be food for you. I love those two verses, like just from outdoorsman perspective. Yeah. But yeah, you could definitely use that one to get out of church on Sunday.
But yeah, I think that's what that statement's saying right there, is a whole bunch of us, we try to fit the Bible into our lives and not fit our lives into what the Word says.
Yep.
And those are, I know that doesn't sound a whole lot different, but that is really two completely different ways of living. Yeah. Because in one of them you're putting God first, and in the other one you're putting yourself first. I think a lot of times we put ourselves first in some stuff, and we try to convince ourselves we're putting God first. I'm looking for a Bible verse that could back this up, so I'm putting God first. No, we're not. You're trying to justify what you're doing wrong.
Counterfeit faith and authentic faith.
Yep.
I heard a sermon about that. I like that a lot. But you got anything you want to add on that?
No, I don't think so.
It was a great question and a great little statement to analyze right there.
Oh, okay. We didn't even actually answer the question. How does that hit for
us? Oh, yeah. How does that hit for us? It's hard because everything... There's a lot of things that they can get twisted. You can get on Facebook and get on the reels and stuff, and like you can see a lot of counterfeit stuff and not authentic, like real. Like some things, like there's a lot of twisted. People twist the Bible in a lot of ways, and make like today's world. It's so easy. Like people can make one video and it can get 500,000 likes, and people can agree with it. And it may not even be right.
Yeah,
and so. Just like how it applies, like to us, how it applies to me personally. Like, I try to be careful, like what I believe and what I don't. You know, I try to make sure. I don't know. I've been trying to kind of double check when I hear something, although it may sound really good. Try to double check it, you know. And
I mean, that verse that talks about like false teachings, they'll come at you.
Yeah,
it'll be wolves in sheep's clothing.
Yeah,
it can look good on the outside.
Oh yeah,
it can be painted up pretty. You can make it sound good. It can be a really cool Facebook post.
Yeah,
but it can be the wrong teaching.
Yeah, and I've gotten to the point like now, like I'm big on podcasts. Obviously, we're sitting here doing one, but I've gotten to the point now where I got 2, 3, 4 people that I listen to that I do trust, and I don't really double check, you know, or anything. Mm-hmm. I can try to, you know. I just listen and I like having a couple people that, you know, I know that I can listen to and be good with. So,
because I got on a topic with this, with one of the kids in my youth group, not to get too deep into what we were talking about, but basically we were talking about a difference of belief of something, and something that I was being real careful about was not entering my opinion into it, but just entering what God's word says.
What God says, yeah.
Nowhere in that, like, we've talked about this multiple times, and I try to catch myself every time that I try to say, well, I think.
Yeah.
And because that's where you can take that, putting the Bible into your belief.
Yeah.
And so I try to catch myself all the time. I try to lead every reason that I have of why I think this is true, I try to lead it with scripture. Like, and if I can't find it in scripture, it's probably not a great reason to believe it.
Yeah.
I mean, it should be with anything that we do in our life. If you have any question on if it's the right thing to do or not.
And no, scripture's not going to tell you to go buy the $200,000 house or the $150,000 house. No, not what we're talking about.
Yeah, but if you can't take scripture and line it up with what you're doing in your life, and scripture doesn't support it, it's probably not the right thing to be. If you have any question of if it's the right thing to do, take what you're doing in your life, line it up with what Scripture says. If it doesn't match, I hate to tell you, Scripture's probably not the one that's in the wrong. It's probably you.
Landon, I meant to ask you this the other day when I was telling you about my Diet Coke relapse. Was it wrong for me to use that verse like completely out of context like that, or is it okay to joke like that? Do you think God laughed?
I thought it was funny. So
I mean, is that wrong? Like, I'm not like, it's just like to you, Olivia.
I would like to think God has a sense of humor.
So anyway, guys. So the other day, I've been trying to get back on the Dr. Peppers because my whole family thinks I'm going to die from drinking Diet Cokes. Maybe it's because I drink eight of them a day. I don't know. But I have tried to dial it back a little bit.
They're not. I don't think they're great for you. I hate to tell you.
I'm going
to
shout out Peppaw on this one. I was over at my mom and Paul's house, and Peppaw had a Diet Coke in the fridge. And there he said everybody tells him to quit, and he said he ain't died yet. So he's just going to keep drinking. That's what I'm talking about, Paul.
So but when did he start drinking them versus when you start drinking them?
Oh, he's like 20-something years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
But I mean, so, yeah, he had a little 12-ounce in a bottle. Yeah. And, dude, I've been drinking.
Just calling your name.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. And I got one out the fridge, you know, and I was drinking on the way home. And I've been drinking Dr. Pepper, and I used to really like Dr. Pepper.
I like Dr. Pepper. Oh, that's dude. My drink.
Oh, you drink some of these Diet Cokes for a couple of days, you'll never go back. And I tried to go back. I was back for probably about a week, and then, I relapsed at Paul's house. So, I went and bought me a six-pack today. But I'm going to try to dial back a little bit. Kind of.
Wean yourself off.
No, I don't really want to wean off of them. So, anyway, the point we're getting at here, I'm going to try to go from, like, I was like 6 to 8 a day, probably.
Goodness.
I'm going to try to dial back to, like, 4 at first, and then. Dude, I mean, I'm up at 4 a.m. I got to drink three before lunchtime.
How much money do you spend on Diet Cokes?
Oh, dude, Food Center's running a heck of a deal right now.
Oh, really?
$3.15 for a six-pack.
Oh, that's not bad.
Oh, my gosh, 50
cents,
dude. It's
50 cents on Diet Coke.
Yeah. But anyway, so where I was going with that, the first morning after I had my Diet Cokes back, I sent Olivia, I was at work, and I sent Olivia a picture of a Diet Coke bottle.
Yeah.
And I said, I sent a Romans 7:24, I think is what it is. It's like, what a wretched man I am. Who's going to save me from this body of death or something? I thought it was funny. But what a wretched man I am. Turning back on the Diet Cokes.
Y'all be in prayer for Braxton, his constant battle with his Diet Coke addiction. Diet Coke.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go to rehab. I don't know how we got lost on that.
Next question.
The next question is going to be probably, this one's from old Mama B. Lando, you want to hit this one? You want to go first?
Yeah, this is a good question.
That's a tough one. Not really, kind of. What advice would you give 16-year-old you?
What advice would I give 16-year-old me?
16-year-old Lando.
I'd give myself a lot of advice because how long ago has that been? 8 years?
Holy. I'm a youngster, dude.
No,
that's
seven
like
years.
5 years ago for me. Seven. Are you 23?
Yeah, I'm 23.
You're turning 24?
No, I'm 22.
You're turning 23.
I don't even remember how old I am.
It's November 7th.
Not. You're close.
Dang it, I was close.
That's bad when you can't even remember how old you are. Yeah. But I was like, I'm not turning 24. I'm 22.
A couple of these, you'll remember everything.
I'm 22. So that was 6 years ago.
Because I'm 5 years ago. I'm 21.
So golly, I'm getting old. That's 6 years ago.
Yeah, I can see your gray hair popping.
Yeah. Hey, Michaela has plucked a gray hair out of my head before. One.
It's just a coincidence.
Yeah. And that was like a while. That was a couple years ago. But advice I'd give 16-year-old me. I was an idiot. I made some stupid choices.
Dude, I was going to say the same thing.
Yeah, I could give myself a lot of advice. Take school more serious.
How was bottom of the list for me, dude.
I wish.
Take school more serious.
Take school more serious. I wish I would have done. Well, I'm just kidding. I looked back now. I'm like, Landon.
Did you not try at all?
No, and I went to Wichita High School,
yeah,
where you could give the most minimal effort in the world, and I graduated with honors. Like, I mean,
there's some smart people that come out of Wichita, though.
Yeah, I mean,
something about them webs down there,
them,
man.
Them webs,
making the 30s on the ACT and stuff.
Yeah, there's some smart people that came out of Wichita, but like majority wise. Like, I gave a very minimal effort, and
I think minimal's overstepping for me.
You didn't give an effort? No.
I'm in college right now, and I still give minimal effort.
Yeah, I wish I would have taken my high school and college career more seriously, because I feel like I could have gotten a little bit more out of it.
I'm just going to disagree with you on here. Now, I do wish I would have took a couple classes in college a little bit more serious, but high school... no way. I hate high school. I hated high school.
Well, just for the fact of, like, I could have scored better on my ACT, and I could have got more money out of going to college. Like, that would have been nice. Because...
Dude, I took the ACT 4 times, and not one time did I stay awake for the English part.
You fell asleep every time?
Yeah, all 4 times. That was some of the best sleep I've ever got, though, so I don't regret that either.
What'd you make on your ACT?
Like 19 or 20.
After 4 tries?
Yeah, and that was, like, combined, all of them. I fell asleep,
Yeah, because you suck.
Super.
You suck, because
what?
My senior year...
Yeah, they didn't do that.
They didn't do that, so you just...
So what did you have overall?
I took it 2 or 3 times, and I made a 22.
That's pretty solid.
Yeah, but I could have done so much better. Like, I could have went to, like, an ACT prep class. I could have just took some crap more seriously, and I think it would have very much benefited me.
Dude, there was just... I'm just going to call it no hope. I hate school. Like, I cannot wait to be done with college. I hate school. I hate school. I don't care what it does for me. I hate school. I hate it.
We probably have some younger listeners on here. Do you have any words of encouragement when it comes to school?
Drop out.
No, don't listen to that.
Don't do that. Just get through it, y'all. Just get through it.
If I could give you some advice, take it more serious. Don't be in this. Maybe you
don't be in Braxton's spirit. It's just because I'm in college and I hate college. High school really wasn't that bad.
Yeah,
it was really boring.
Take your ACT prep seriously.
Take the ACT serious. Don't fall asleep.
The less money you have to spend down the road, the better.
Absolutely. I just kind of lucked out.
Yeah.
Malvern and Henderson had a little thing going. That's the only reason I'm in college.
Another little piece of advice that I would give 16-year-old me. I'm just – right now, I have one big one that I'm going to say last, but right now I'm thinking about little stuff. When it goes to, like, my athletic side of stuff, I wish I would have taken every practice as serious as I could. I wish I wouldn't have goofed off as much as I did in practices.
Dude, that's memories, though.
That is memories.
But. On the athletic side of things, I wish I would have never played football, and I wouldn't have played baseball.
Yeah.
I don't know. I really loved baseball for a long time, but, dude, I can't stand baseball. It's just so slow and stuff. I think I'm just a little bit more wired up these days.
Yeah.
I wish I would have played golf and basketball and really focused hard on golf.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, I'm kind of glad I didn't, or like go to college, play golf or anything. I'm glad I didn't.
Because I wouldn't. Some stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. I like the grown-up life a lot better.
Yeah.
I like working, so.
But my biggest one is, and I'm pretty sure that I could list off a whole bunch of different little stuff like Landon, why'd you get in that stupid argument with Michaela or something like that? Or like I could definitely give myself a bunch of little tweaks here and there advice. But my biggest one that I could give myself is before anything else, God's the most important thing in your life, and don't forget that.
Yep.
And this was like being like a kid that was saved. Like I was saved when I was really young. And so, like, my span of time from, like 12 years old to 16, 17 years old.
Put God on the back burner.
It's not that Yeah. Like, I went to church to be with my friends.
Yeah.
Like, I enjoyed being at church. I'd always get something out of it. Like, but I was there to hang out with the people that were there. I wanted to have a good time with them. I put sports way above anything else.
Oh, yeah. And that's what, like, advice we give to, like, actual, like, kids, like, now, like, 16-year-old kids now. Do not put sports in front of your relationship with God, because that is, like, when it ends, it ends.
It's done.
It's over.
I ain't thought about high school sports in 4 years. I mean, I've given it a thought, but, it hasn't affected me for the last 4 years.
Yeah, no. And, like, going off that a little bit, I wish I would have found my identity in Christ more so than in other people.
Yeah.
And stopped listening, like, what other people thought about me and stuff. Always trying to just be cool, like, cool and not upset anybody and not look weird. Instead of, like, doing that, instead of just finding my identity, which is really, really hard.
It is.
Because that's what everybody wants, is just to be liked and be cool. And some people want to look at as being mean and big and bad. And some people want to look at as being smart. Like, finding your identity in Christ is the most important thing. And I wish I would have done that at 16.
Yeah. let me go find this really quick. I saw something the other day, and it really hit me. And I thought about this as soon as I said the, like, thinking about 16-year-old me, what I'd tell myself is, did I delete this post?
While he's finding that, I'll go off of, I wish I would have prayed a little bit more. Like, thinking back now, like, thinking about that, I don't remember, like, now, like, I pray, maybe not, like, all day, but, like, I pray more than once a day, I would say.
Yeah.
You know? And I wish, like, thinking back now, I don't really think I prayed that much. Like, I think my prayer life was, like, very, very...
I know I didn't.
Little to nothing, you know? And, like, now I realize now, like, how important prayer is.
Oh, yeah.
Like, when you get worried, you pray. Mm-hmm. When you get mad, you pray, even though that's really hard.
When something's going, like, good,
yeah,
you pray.
Yeah, you, like, in every aspect of your life, prayer is always something that can, you know, give you peace of mind and just get you through the day.
And, yeah.
As stressful as it gets now, being 21, 22, it's very needed.
Yeah, that is definitely one thing that I would
And back then, I guess life was simpler, too. So you didn't have as much to pray about to think about.
Yeah, but you still had your problems.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe we look back at them now and, like, those are stupid problems. But they were serious.
They were big. Yeah, they were big time.
This is what I was looking at right here. It's talking about, like, one day when we stand before Jesus, the things that Jesus isn't going to ask us about. Jesus isn't going to ask us about our grades, our batting average, our three-point percentage, our yards per carry, our popularity, our hobbies, or our class rank.
I don't think he's going to ask about that.
No.
Exactly, and he's not going to care about Diet Coke either. Yeah, he probably will. Our body's a temple.
Yeah. But, and take that serious. Like, yes, this is a great time in your life to make memories and, you know, you enjoy that stuff, because it's going to be stuff that you remember your whole life, as some of those memories that you make.
Oh, yeah.
But if we could give one word of advice, it's that those things are not forever. Your relationship with Jesus is something that is.
Put your mind on things that are eternal and not so temporary.
Yeah.
Fix your eyes on above and not on...
Yeah,
around you, you know.
And high school sports ain't even like this 100-year life temporary. They're 4 years temporary.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of that is parents' faults, too.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that is...
Boosting that...
That is a soapbox that I could run on for a while of something that really aggravates me.
Yeah.
Is parents that tell their kids that those are the most important things in their life.
Yeah.
That is...
And now, like, obviously, like, if you love sports, you love sports.
Yeah.
Like, that's okay. That's a great thing. Yeah. Like, and to put all your effort, like what you said, like, you would put more effort, not goof off as much. Like, it is a good thing to put, like, whatever you're doing is to do it as the best way you can.
Yeah.
And to run the race to win, you know? Yeah. And just do it as the best you can. But when you obsess over it is when it gets to the point that...
where that's the only thing that matters in your life.
Yeah.
Or it is the most important thing in your life. That's when it's an issue. And if we got any parents on here listening, if I could give you any word of advice, is that I get you love watching your kid play sports. I love you get to watch them do their thing. But ultimately, their relationship with Christ is what matters.
Way more important.
And as a parent, our job is to make disciples, not make athletes.
Hey, there's a quote of the podcast.
Mm.
Like that, Lando. Like that.
So,
because ultimately, it does. If you're doing something, you're like, will this end one day? Yes.
Yeah.
Everything, like anything you do, work, sports, school, like anything you do will end.
Yeah.
And
the only thing that is worth our while that's never going to end is our relationship with Jesus.
And when you put your effort and all your time and all your thoughts and when you put yourself into something that's not eternal and something that can't actually bring you that long-term joy, you're not going to be near as happy.
Yeah.
So, or near as joyful. So
that's advice to not only 16-year-old ourself, but if we got any parents listening.
Yeah. Just coming from guys that, you know, and not that our parents did that, but I mean, you know.
But just that, like, I mean.
Looking around when we were that age, seeing how crazy people were.
Especially now that I'm older. Because, I mean, I'm an assistant high school basketball coach. Dude, I see it.
Yeah.
I see it.
I bet you did.
And it's, like, don't get me wrong. I love a supportive parent that wants to, you know, push their kids.
Coaches, too. If there's any coaches listening, that's a big, that's a big deal for y'all, too.
Mm-hmm. But that's somebody that, like, I see that every day. I don't know. That's something that it genuinely hurts my heart. It really does. That's something that's near and dear to me. And that I always have something to say about that right there.
Not that sports aren't important. Me and Landon are some sports nuts. So. Oh, yeah. But first things first.
Yeah.
All right, next question we got. When did you start believing in God, and was there, like, an event that, like, spurred it? I was trying to think on this one. I'm thankful and blessed and grateful that I grew up around church, and I grew up around, like, ever since I can remember. Like, I was always around church and always around, like, I always knew God was a thing, you know? Yeah. I'm trying to think of something that happened that kind of, I remember one night I was probably like 13 or 14. I believed in God before that.
Yeah.
But like when I like kind of like felt his, like the first moment probably before that I felt it, but like that I felt like kind of his presence or whatever.
Yeah.
I was just laying in bed one night and I just remember I was just laying there and I had like this thought of like, of just like praying.
Yeah.
And so like I started praying and I was like laying in my bed and I like got like goosebumps and like I felt like a real like joy.
Yeah.
Just like praying. I think that was like the first real prayer I ever had. You know what I mean? Other than like being like saved, I guess.
Yeah.
But like that was the first moment like I could like feel like I felt like I was like talking to God, like, you know, I could feel him. So
I think I mean I'm pretty much the same. I mean, I grew up around church. I was saved like real young. 7 or 8 years old.
Me too.
And something that was like a little different or like odd for me is like when I was saved, it was a long time after I got saved until I was baptized.
Really?
Yeah. Because I used to be the most shy kid on planet Earth.
Really?
Yes.
That's hard to believe.
Yeah, I used to be the most shy kid ever. Like,
I think I was obnoxious.
No, I was. If I got to know you and I warmed up to you, I was obnoxious and I was annoying. I got people that would testify to that. But but like, if I didn't know you, I would go out of my way and make an extra effort to
and
not even have to look at you
on a stage and talk to hundreds of people at a time.
Yeah, it's weird.
Kind of weird.
But and so I went a long time before I got baptized.
How old were you?
I was saved around like 7, 8 years old. Yeah. I don't remember exact what age it was, but I probably wasn't. It wasn't until I was like 10 when I was baptized.
Yeah, so
I
waited 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, because do you know what the soul factor was? I didn't want to walk up the aisle at church in front of everybody. That was my soul factor. I was like, I do not want to do that. I don't want everybody looking at me. And that was my soul factor of it. But I guess it was just maybe Brother Donis preaching about it or something. I really don't remember like what the sermon was, but I remember it being talked about. We had like talked about it in Awana and like stuff like that of why baptism's a thing, and it's something that like it's not something that gets us saved, it's not something that gets us to heaven, but it's like that's our proclamation to the world that we know Jesus.
Have you listened to Phil Robertson talk about baptism?
Yeah.
I love when he talks about baptism. And I think it's really cool.
And like that was something that like clicked in my head. It's like I love Jesus and I know I'm saved, but like this is something that I shouldn't be fearful of to show people. Like, I think that was a click in my head moment kind of thing for me. That's like cool. I was already saved, but it was something that like it clicked in my head. It's like this is something that I should want to share with people, and so that was mine for me.
Okay, so to kind of stay on that topic to finish up here, we're not going to try to spend.
We got time for one more question.
Yeah, we got one more question. So
hey, I ain't going to lie to you. I thought we were going to fly through these questions and this be a 20-minute episode. We got like 10 minutes.
Sorry, guys. What do you think of the statement, I don't need church to have a relationship with God?
This is this is a tough and controversial one.
Yeah.
Because I personally know people that live by this statement. Read it one more time just so people can hear it.
I don't need church to have a relationship with God.
Yeah. This is we're never on this to make an effort to offend somebody
Something
like that. But
it's just our opinion.
This is our opinion, and we want to come at it from a biblical point of view and just give what we think. That statement, I can have a relationship with God without going to church. I 100% agree with you.
Yeah.
I 100% agree that you can have a relationship with God without going to church. But I really genuinely don't know if it's going to be a good one. That's my thing about it. I don't know if it's going to be a good relationship.
Yeah. And I thought a consistent one, too.
Yeah. I heard this analogy one time, and just give me your feedback on it. Say you're married. You're married. You have a wife. Y'all got the rings on your fingers. How good of a marriage is it going to be if you never come home?
Not a good one.
You call and talk to her on the phone.
And what's cool about that is, like, in the Bible, like, God relates, like, relates our relationship with him.
Yeah.
He, like...
To marriage.
To marriage. It's the closest. Yeah. It's a covenant.
Yeah, between Jesus and the church.
Yeah.
And the church.
Yeah.
I just wanted to point that one out right there.
Yeah.
But he doesn't point out between Jesus and saved people. He points it out between Jesus and the church.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I think the Bible makes it very obviously clear that church is something that's very important.
Yeah.
And
like we talked about last week, you don't go to church to be saved. Like, you don't go to church for, like, a pastor to save you or a member to save you or anything. Like, you go to church for...
Well, first off, you need to go to church with the attitude of it's not about you.
Yeah.
Like, that's the problem
with America. Yeah, it's all about
you. I think you're there first and foremost to grow.
Yeah.
But I think you're also there to serve.
Yeah.
And two things, growing and serving, which are very, very, very vital parts of our Christian life, those are things that they don't happen great when you're outside of church. I don't care how good of a devotional book you got or, you know, what your prayer time looks like. And those are great things, and we all need to do that.
Wonderful thing.
We need to do those things outside of church, but... But man, churches, that is the tool that Jesus gave us when it comes to growing our relationship with him.
And really, one of the most important, you know, well, your personal relationship with God is like obviously extremely important, but to maintain that and to grow that And to strengthen that, I think going to church is a key part of that.
Yeah. And, you know, like, when the Bible talks about the body of Christ, like, he's referring to the church. But, and he uses that analogy of a body, of everybody coming, and he also uses, like, the analogy of, like, a table, of everybody coming forward and, like, and putting what they have to offer on a table. And I think about that. I think about that analogy of, like, a body. You know, if God designed us to be a foot, it's hard to fully serve your purpose if you're not around the other body parts that you need to carry out what you're supposed to do. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I think so many people, I think mainly the people that have the mindset that I can have a relationship with God without going to church, their mindset is, it's all about me.
I think so too, because, so like what I think about like the body or whatever, like you were saying, God gave each one of us like special gifts and like different tools to reach other people. So like, I feel like what the church is for, one of the reasons like what the church is for is when you bring the body, you bring a lot of people together, you have all different tools, you have all different like personalities, you have different ways, like, because you may be able to reach someone that I don't, you know? Yeah. And that doesn't mean save them, like we talked about last week, but planting the seed and, like, getting to somebody and getting them, you know, to actually listen and stuff. Yeah. So when you bring the church together and you bring this group of people, and there's all this different, there's this diversity, and you can go out, and when you do serve, you know.
What is that verse? Give me one sec. I got to find this verse, because this is exactly what we're talking about.
Okay, well, I'll talk a little bit more on it, like, going to church, like on Sundays for me, Sundays are one of my favorite days of the week just cause like get to go to church and like be around, you know, like-minded people and, and like what God made Sunday for, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, just like the rest day and stuff. Like, I don't know, me personally, I always feel better, you know, if I'm at church and then I'm not, but that's just me. And,
is this what I was looking for right here? Give me just a second. Sorry.
Yeah, so, like, growing, if you want to, like, take a step in faith and you don't go to church, that would be what me and Lan would recommend. That would be, like, a good step to take. Find it?
Yes, yeah. This is the verse I was looking for. It's Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Verses 9 through 12. And I think you can perfectly relate this to the church of like what our, of why we have a church, why it's there. And it's this verse right here. It says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken.
Hmm.
I think the whole point of that is two is stronger than one, and three is stronger than two. And the more of us that we have together, that's God. It the Bible, also the verse that says, don't forsake the fellowship with the people around you. It's something that we should not take lightly. God gave it to us. It's something that is so vital and so important. So that statement of I can have a relationship with God without going to church, I think you can. And I think I don't think that your relationship with God should stop when you leave the church doors. I mean, I think it's something that you got to take with you every day and should be the forefront of your mind. But
it's just something
the
else.
The church is such a vital training ground.
And it's for something what we're else like that God calls us to. You know, he calls us to a lot of different things. And that's just something else that he calls us to.
Yeah. If he calls us to it, why do we? That's just our human mindset of putting an argument against it.
Yeah.
Of what we started off with, of trying to twist.
Yeah.
Like trying to fit our belief or trying to fit the Bible into our belief and not our belief into the Bible. I think the Bible's plenty perfectly clear that church is something that should be important in our life. Yeah.
And if you've had a bad experience with church and stuff, like, man, Landon, get it.
Yeah,
it's, like, people are not, we're people. We're not perfect. You don't go to church for the people.
No. You go to church to grow your relationship with God and so that all the people around you can grow too.
Yeah.
You don't got a church full of perfect people.
I don't believe the statement. I don't go to church anymore because this pastor said this or this pastor said, like, yeah.
We mess up, but
it's just gonna, or this church member did this to you. You know, it's just,
yeah.
That's not like,
that's not the attitude to have about it.
It's not about you.
Yeah. It's about growing together. When you mess up, what that verse talked about in Ecclesiastes chapter 4 is that for if they fall, you have somebody to pick you up.
Yeah.
That's what it's there for. Yeah. Guess what? When you're on your own, when you try to have that relationship with God on your own, when you mess up and you don't have anybody else around you to pick you up, that's tough.
It's a dark place to be.
That's exactly where the devil wants you.
Oh, yeah.
That is exactly where the devil wants you.
Community is really, really important.
Absolutely.
And, what's that one verse where the two guys in the gospel thing? I think it's Matthew, and Jesus says, when two or three gather together, I am there with them.
Yeah.
I can't remember what verse it is.
Community is so important. We could make an episode by itself of the importance of church. That might be something that we talk about one day, but that's about all the time that we got for today. We appreciate y'all listening.
Thanks so much, guys. If y'all got any questions, just drop them on our page on Facebook.
We'll definitely do another episode like this one day.
This was cool.
I thought we were going to fly through this, but we took quite a bit of time on that. So thank y'all, guys. We'll see y'all next week.
Thank you all for joining us this week on All for the Glory.
Make sure to check us out on our social media platforms. We've got Instagram, Facebook, X, formerly known as Twitter, at All for the Glory Podcast.
Make sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. Thank you all, and we'll see you next week.
Peace.
Peace.